Oh, it's very important music. You see, I use it as a counterpoint. And I learned that from the Fred Carno Company. They had splendid music. Timing.
Yes.
In comedy.
For the screen.
My mother gave me that. I was born with it, more or less. And she was very graceful and was a dancer, you know. And naturally, I suppose, those things are more or less instinctive. It's the same thing with acting. I don't think you can teach a person to act. You can give them, you can make them effective. Imagining the duration and the sense of values, I suppose, and everything else.
Yes.
And it's more or less instinctive. It's instinctive.
Yes.
Oh, a camera is more terrifying than even talking here before 40 million people.
Yes, I do know.
You know, the marriage of an audience, the presence of an audience, and one's contact is something entirely different. With a camera, there's a cold, round eye just watching you. And you have to rely on your own imagination and your own sense of proportion of what you and timing, what a thing deserves, or what a thing should have in the way of time. And then, of course, that's something visual. You see it. And,
yes.
There it is. You're confronted with it. But I mean, in actually taking a scene, there is a tendency for everybody to speed up.
Yes.
But I think we're getting too much speed. I like to dally a little bit, you know, and just get the audience to know you a little bit. That's what I think I've done in this film. I've tried to pause for a moment so that people and the audience and the characters can get acquainted.
Paul,
of course, I wouldn't advise that in every film. Well, yes, my ideas. You know, I've heard it, and it's been publicized that this is more or less autobiographical. But it really isn't. I think it's more or less revealing of what... It's a portrait, you know. It's like Shakespeare gives a very good account of himself. Not that I'm coupling myself with Shakespeare when I say this. Please forgive me. But nevertheless, I think his work gives a true account of the man. And I think my work, inhibitions and everything else, and his desires and aims and his desire for beauty and for everything else, like, that's something that we all, I don't care how lowly we are and what station of life, we all want the beautiful. The accumulation of those things, they come. They're spontaneous in writing. Years ago in the silent days, I used to write with the camera.
What do you mean, with the camera?
Well, I never had anything prepared, you see. I would get on a set and would start early in the cold morning with all those ugly electricians looking at me saying, well, what are you going to do next? Pardon me, please. But they were always present. And then you'd start and you'd get excited, and out of excitement would come invention. And I think everything, all creative work, is done out of excitement and enthusiasm. And we just start that way, you see. And now, of course, now that the industry and has become such a financial sort of adventure, we have to be have everything prepared. I'm rather sorry for that, in a way. The same thing as I had to do with this present picture. All prepared. It took me 3 years to prepare it. I was just thinking about doing 3 pictures a year. Well, my contract with the Keystone Company was for 3 pictures a week. I, for the first year there, I made two pictures in one day. They were two shorts, what we called educational. And for those extra pictures, I got $25. And I'd direct and my own picture. I was given $25 extra. In the old days, you see, the public used to fill in. I don't think anybody has been as famous as Mary Pickford, America's Sweetheart, and so forth. I think there's so much left to the imagination. There was a romance. There were shadows. There was a poetry to the whole concept of these people. They were like, they were something to, that were, they were unreal. They were in the realms of poetry and fairyland, you might say. And they never were an actual reality. Now there's so much that is realistic that there's very little left to the imagination. You see, I think our form is only really a great form by virtue of its limitations. It's like paintings in two dimensions. You get your great masters like Rembrandt and so forth. And it's the same thing in the silent films, you see. The moment we put language to them, they heard and it was vocal and audible.